Okay, thank you for your patience. We'll come back to order, and we've got some staff coming up to answer questions and take it from here. Okay, Commissioner Fritz, you had some questions?
I just wanted to clarify, when we had the hearing last time, we had had an ambiguous response from the state, so at the mayor's suggestion, we asked again, and I wanted Mike Leafield from the Bureau of Development Services to talk about the code implications of doing multifamily housing.
Yes. Director Scarlett did follow up with the building code divisions for the state of Oregon and asked them to clarify their position. It was a little unclear in the interpretation letter that they issued to BDS. Myself and Terry Whitehill, another building official at the Bureau, were able to speak with Mark Long, the director of BCD, yesterday afternoon via phone, and he did confirm that the change of occupancy permit absolutely is required in multifamily structures for this proposed use. So he did agree verbally that a change of occupancy permit is required for these situations. He said he would be following up with additional written information, but it has not been received.
And what kind of process is a change of occupancy permit? What does that entail?
Well, it's a building permit submittal. So like any change of occupancy, if you want to convert a house where the zoning allows it and you want to convert it to a commercial building, then you would come in and show your proposal and show how you comply with the code requirements for that proposed occupancy class. And in this case, for multifamily, for R2 occupancies, they'd be proposing to go to an R1 transient occupancy, and they would have to show, based on their building, how they can comply with the R1 occupancy codes. And that differs. It all depends on the configuration of the building, the year of the building, things that are already in place. There will be buildings where a change of occupancy with the additions of fire sprinkler systems, exit, you know, corridors, fire rating systems, that will be difficult to meet. There will be other buildings that have been built in a code cycle that already have some of those large elements, such as fire sprinklers. Fire sprinklers were required in every new multifamily building with dwelling units starting in 2004. So any building constructed or when the permit was submitted after the effective date in 2004 already has that system in place. And so the change of occupancy may not have great obstacles. It may be some signage for exiting, you know, other types of requirements, but not large structural changes requirements for the building.
And things that were already built at the R1 or better standard wouldn't need any kind of change?
Right. So, well, if you have an occupancy of R1, then that is your given occupancy. You're not required to upgrade at this time. You're vested in that occupancy, and so this would be an allowed use.
So what about all of the multifamily, whether they're rentals or condos, that are in EX zones or CX zones? How does that compare with... Is the R1 the same as the R1 that I'm thinking of in this?
It's not. The R, so it is confusing. The building code has occupancy classes and includes R3, R2, and R1. That is not the same as the zoning designations
okay.
for R3, R2, R1. Again, the zoning set aside, the zoning sets the policy about what uses are allowed. After the zoning says what uses are allowed, then you come in and you show how your building will comply with the building code requirements. And so in those zones, let's say in Northwest Portland, where there's a lot of EX zoning and you have multifamily mixed-use buildings, they already comply with the building code occupancy classes for that space, for the units, for the commercial space. So,
and that would be R1?
R2, most likely.
Most likely R2.
Mm-hmm.
So would it be fair to say that most multifamily buildings would require change of occupancy so that then the owner of the building would have to be notified, right, if somebody came in to get an Airbnb, a short-term rental license, that would require a change of occupancy.
Right. When we're talking multifamily residential, we are talking an R2 occupancy. So when you go to motel, hotel, that's an R1.
I see.
There are not R1 residential occupancies.
I see. So this actually might be helpful, Mayor, as we're looking at how to make this work. If it can make it work, that would provide a built-in mechanism that the building owner would be notified of the request. Because they have to have an inspection or something, right?
Correct. I mean, right. And so it would make sense that the building, we'd have owner information and authorization for the short-term rental permit, which is, again, the allowed use provision, and because the owner has to sign off on the building permit submittal at the time if they need to come in for a change of use permit.
Thank you.
Okay. Other questions for staff? Guidance and suggestions from you, Susan, or Sandra?
Well, one of the things we want to make sure that we do is that before we approve which of the amendments that you went through, I think we did that a little convoluted there in the beginning,
we'll
so
go
to
back
go back
and
go through those.
Yeah.
If you are at all interested in looking at vacation rentals, which it sounds like you might be, one option would be to do that separately, depending on what you do with multifamily. If you wanted to table multifamily till later, you could do those as a package. I can do a scope of work and come back to you and tell you what that would cost to figure that out and staff it and get it back to you. It would probably be a six-month process.
Okay. Comments on those options?
So you're saying that there's a way we could do doors number 1, 2, and 3 in a reasonable time frame and come up with some suggested.
Well, hopefully we're going to do door number 1.
Yeah. I think door number
relatively
one is,
soon.
Yeah.
I think we can close the door.
And then, depending on what you decide with door number 2, and then if you decide to table that for a while, I'd suggest we put it together so that we don't have to run 2 separate processes.
Susan, has there been any discussion of the short-term, of the vacation rental issue as part of this process, or would that be just from scratch?
There was some discussion of it in the beginning, definitely, and there was sort of a decision not to go down that road right now.
It seems to me that we've got a head of steam here and a lot of engagement, heard a lot of the positives, many of the concerns, so I don't know what it would take in terms of staffing, and that would be your call as the commissioner, but doing both the multifamily and the vacation rentals together seems like a
To return to my own doors metaphor, having at least looked through the other 2 doors, I think we ought to finish the job here. Mm-hmm. I mean, in some relatively brief time period. I think we've got a high level of consensus on the council about door number 1, about single-family short-term rental code, which we have in front of us, and we have amendments that we've talked about and that we're prepared to act on. I still believe the multifamily issue is relatively simple. However, we were talking about a January 1 effective date anyway, so I'm certainly persuaded that we ought to have some more discussion about that with people that care about it without actually changing the timetable of when the new code might go into effect. So my preference would be to withdraw or actually to set over my own amendment about multifamily with the understanding that, again, it's the council's going to be returning to that question in time to have our new revised policy still in place by the first of the year, same day it would have been in place if we had acted on it today. And while we're at it, go ahead and make an attempt to deal with the third door, that is the question of vacation rentals, in existing housing in the city, because it's happening. Same basic question arises here. It's happening now. It's contrary to our code. What do we do about it? So we'll figure out what level of staffing and whether Sandra will leave the city if we give her this assignment.
Mayor, and I think if the Bureau determines that vacation rentals just start posing novel questions or issues, at the very least, knowing that we want a comprehensive proposal that's been cooked to come back to us in time so that we can act on it within the framework, within the timeline that you have set for action.
Yeah. How does that sit with you? I know it's more work, and you'll need the resources to deal with that. I understand that Bureau Director plea, which you're right to articulate. But
the main issue is that if we want this to go through the Planning and Sustainability Commission, which I think would be appropriate in this case, that there's a little bit of a time lag. So, it would take 3 or 4 months to work out solutions, pull stakeholders together, begin to basically have a draft that people could comment. And then you'd need to go through Planning Commission then to hear. So I don't think all of that would end up so that we'd be back in this room in January. It might end up longer than that.
I guess, going back to what the mayor's opening remarks, when we got into this debate about the multifamily, I mean,
right, we could
the Planning and Sustainability Commission got us to a certain point, but aren't we really capable of standing on our own legs
I'm
at this
sure
point?
I'm not sure why. We need more staff work. I'm not sure why this has to go back to the commission.
Okay. Because they're...
I think it's at the policy level right now. It's just us.
Sure.
Well, I think they've done a really good job on this package, and so to, if there is are going to be code recommendations, it wouldn't take all that much longer to do the planning.
My recommendation would be then to separate the two. If you want to move multifamily more quickly, we do have a lot of good information. We can do that more quickly. We could bring something back to you and roll the vacation rental, you know, that would be put off, and, you know, we can roll that into other work plan, you know, in the next year or 18 months or something else down the road.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think I'd be inclined to do that. I mean, I just wanted to state for the record the specific issues that I want to look into a little more in terms of multifamily. I do want to call some members of the Planning and Sustainability Commission just to get their sense as to, you know, if they had been focusing on this issue, I mean, what process would they have wanted to follow? I mean, I tend to agree with the mayor that they're an advisory body. We are not an appellate body to them, but I do want to at least sort of check in with them and see what they have to say about this issue. I'd also like to provide an opportunity for affordable housing advocates to come to us and talk about the multifamily housing issue and maybe give them a separate session just to talk about any concerns that they might have. Because I know, I mean, I've been reading all these articles saying that affordable housing advocates are concerned about this around the country. I'd like to give our local ones an opportunity to say whether they are and if so, why. And there's a couple of pieces of research that maybe there's not much data, but there's some things I'd sort of like to at least make some phone calls and find out about. One is that if it's true that this industry has led to all sorts of upset neighbors, whether in the single family or the multifamily context, especially in the multifamily context, I mean, I'd sort of like to call around and see, are landlords and city officials around the country dealing with lots more complaints about riotous visitors since the advent of Airbnb? Might be hard to get hard data on that, but like, let's make a few calls. And second, I think it would be interesting to see, even just in Austin in the past few months, has there been an explosion in the number of Airbnbs once it became officially authorized, or has there been a decline because now there's a regulatory structure? I'd at least like to make those phone calls.
And Mayor, if I could, I thought one of the most compelling pieces of testimony we had today, and it was another one of those only important Portland hearings. I mean, so interesting, and the quality of the testimony, but the woman who testified toward the end, who was the owner of a fourplex, and she was in 350 square feet per unit. She made note of the fact that her typical tenant doesn't take a vacation. I'm guessing it's mostly working class, middle class, affordable rental housing, and she would like the flexibility to be a direct participant in Airbnb. It's precisely that niche in the market that I'm concerned about losing affordable housing. Because I think what we're doing, some cities have put in rent control to prevent loss of stock. We have a no net loss policy of affordable housing in certain districts. My concern for the smaller landlords, and that's not necessarily who Metro Multifamily represents, there's another trade association of the smaller mom and pops, is that we may be fundamentally altering the market economics so that someone that does have 2 to 4 units would frankly be foolish not to withdraw them from long-term rental and participate in short-term rental, because that person can triple, quadruple their income. And that concerns me, because that is the housing that is providing last resort housing for working-class people in our community, and I think we may be altering the market economics around that. That's not an issue that caused me to oppose regulating it. To your point, Mayor, it's happening, and we got to get in front of it. But it may inform the council's view about what other steps we need to take to address the affordable housing inventory question, because I think she made a very compelling case as to why we're going to start losing units, particularly units in fourplexes and smaller settings.
I'd just like to put on the record my concern about the philosophy of it's happening, so we need to regulate it. My experience has been that if Portlanders know the rules, they follow the rules. And so if we have 1,500 now, I think we will have many more that once it's known that this is legal. So it's, you know, as I said, The fact that everybody else is doing it has never been persuasive to me when my children are trying to make an argument to me. It's more of a, what is the best public policy? And my concerns with multifamily are that they are shared living spaces, and that there are, you know, think of micro apartments where it's intended to have a shared kitchen, maybe even shared bathrooms in some situations. That it then becomes much more like a commercial business if a lot of the units are being rented out short term. And that's where we've heard a lot of comments from the neighborhoods about residential zones versus commercial zones.
Yeah, don't misunderstand my comment. My comment was not intended to say this is happening, we just should be passive. My point is, we right now have this happening at some scale in the city, and every single one of them is illegal.
Right, and that's not necessarily a good reason to legalize them, though.
No, but to the extent that we have studied the question and decided that it would be better to have it regulated than unregulated, I'd rather be moving forward than sitting still. So, you know, that was my point. Again, this is happening, and the sharing economy is happening here and elsewhere pretty quickly. We government don't move that quickly very often. We're trying to, in this case, using this RICAP model to address a code issue or two that we know we have to deal with. So here's my suggestion, and that is my suggestion based on this discussion would be that we go ahead and act on the June 30th package of amendments, and we'll go back through those so that we're clear about what we're acting on and not acting on. That we set over the issue of multi-dwelling structures as an amendment, which I earlier put on the table, for 2 months at least, maybe three, not to go back through the Planning Commission, but instead to have stakeholders that are interested in meeting with staff and further vetting these issues before we bring it back to the Council in the fall. I'd like to do that. I'm persuaded that although we should be acting on the short-term vacation rentals issue, we shouldn't try to sweep that in now, but I think I am going to ask the staff to include that in the next RICAP package, because you're getting ready to start another one, right? I know that this is the moment when Sandra quits. No.
Let's say that we'll include it in our as a part of our work plan, and yeah, whether it's yeah, part of RECAP. I think we got a lot of hits for this wasn't a RECAP project in the
yeah,
first place.
But it needs to be addressed swiftly, not over the
not
space
in 3 years.
Of,
got
yeah,
it.
Mayor, I would like to support your proposal, and I think if my guess is that 3 months is probably a little more generous given vacation schedules, but that would mean that we come back in October
yeah,
and have a hearing on the package, and it still gives us the time to be nimble to meet the January 1 deadline that you've established.
Well, I'd like to put the single-family issue to rest.
Yes,
act on those amendments today.
The
multifamily piece we set over
that,
for 3 months.
Have that come back to us in October
yeah,
and still give us time to deliberate with the January 1 effective date if we move forward.
Yeah. Are we comfortable with that
yeah,
process?
I am.
And the
yeah,
multi-dwelling coming straight to City Council, not
yeah,
through the planning.
Yeah. We want you to meet with the stakeholders, vet the issues that we've heard about, make sure that the organizations, that some of which have spoken today and some of which have been referred to, that have a role in the multifamily industry, particularly the affordable housing side, have a chance to influence this discussion, and then you bring it back to us. Again, we know, I think it's really important to remember while we're doing this work, that we're enacting zoning code, not a housing code. We're enacting what is legal or not legal to do on a piece of property or a building. We are not regulating the housing market. Yes, we have an effect on the housing market when we do this. I get that. But I think it's important to maintain that slightly academic-sounding distinction, that what we're trying to do is put in our zoning code what's possible. And it's still, as my cross-examination of my friend Deborah indicated, it's still up to every landlord to figure out what they want to allow and up to every homeowners association to figure out what they want to allow. And as a landlord, I know what I want to allow, and it's my choice, and it will be my choice regardless of which version of this we adopt, unless we do something radically different. So that's where I'm headed. So let me return to our amendments. Now, we have put a set of amendments and then a single additional amendment on the table, I believe, if I'm recapping this correctly, which is in our June 30th memorandum from Sandra Wood, we have the Amendment A, which is to require an initial BDS inspection, self-certification for renewals every 2 years, and another BDS inspection at year 6 over the change of ownership. Secondly, we have Commissioner Fritz's.
Well, let's just vote on that one.
Okay, you want to vote on that one? You want to take them one at a time?
Yeah.
So further discussion on Amendment A. And a roll call on that amendment, please.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
We did hear one novel issue today, which is a Fourth Amendment claim. And I'm not the lawyer on this one. I'll defer to Commissioner Novick. But it does occur to me, since we're regulating a commercial activity, it's not really a Fourth Amendment question about unreasonable intrusions in someone's privacy. It is our police power authority to maintain life safety issues. Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Okay.
Mayor Hales, may I make one clarifying statement?
Sure.
Since you had previously put on the table at the last hearing the first motion and had passed that, I want to be clear that the amendment that you just voted on replaces the amendment that you adopted at the last hearing.
That's correct.
So no one's confused.
That's correct. Okay, now on item B, we would not have needed to take any further action except for Commissioner Fritz's friendly amendment to the carbon monoxide detector.
Which is to require the that the dwelling unit be located on the floor of a dwelling equipped with a functioning carbon monoxide alarm where the detector is required by law.
Okay.
And that's in section 33207-104A-4C.
Okay, further discussion on that amendment? Everyone clear? So let's take a roll call on that amendment.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye.
I'm sorry, Fish.
Okay. Did we leave somebody out? I'm sorry, Commissioner Fish. Leave me,
okay,
leave me behind.
You had the votes. Aye.
Well, yeah, still. Okay.
Let's start doing that more often.
Tip O'Neill over here. Jesus.
Item C. Lost my own paperwork here. Hang on a minute. Where did it go? Monitoring.
Item C, you've already adopted.
We've already done that one. Okay. Then item D. The earlier motion, which I'll reiterate, is to require the resident of the occupied dwelling unit for at least 9 months, as shown in this attachment. Sir, we don't need to second it, so it's already on the table. So further discussion on 9 months versus 6 months. Okay, and then a roll call on that.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Thank you, Carla, for calling me. Aye.
Hales.
Aye. All right. And then item E, allowing a designee to operate the rental as opposed to only the owner-occupant. Further discussion on that one? Roll call.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Okay, so then I will set over.
Mr. Mayor, there's also, enough it fits, my little amendment about making Mr. Unger's point.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So that would be moving to amend city code to require the license number be posted on all advertising.
Yes, right. Okay, roll call
and
on that.
And in the unit?
What?
And in the unit?
Actually, I didn't say that, but I'd have no objection to it.
The friendly amount, we heard the testimony on that. I think that would be a good thing.
Sure. So requiring the license number
to be posted in the dwelling unit as well as in the advertisement.
Okay. All right, roll call.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Okay, now I'm going to set over my own amendment for 90 days. Assuming that works out about right for calendar. And we'll set a council date roughly 90 days from now to return to that. In the meantime, I'm going to ask that the Bureau staff convene the stakeholders that have been mentioned, as well as folks from the short-term rental industry that we've heard from here, to further refine this question, again, about both condominiums and multifamily housing. I don't believe we necessarily have to divide the two for purposes of dealing with the zoning code.
We would prefer not.
Yes.
Nothing else is divided in the zoning code in those two.
So we're going to keep those two management schemes together because the zoning code doesn't draw the distinction, but then take up the multifamily issues that have been raised. Okay, so if there's no objection, I'm going to set that over for 90 days.
And, Mayor, the only other thing, I guess, is for the benefit of people who are here, we don't have council next week, so this comes back for a second reading in 2 weeks, not 1 week.
As a matter of fact, we'll be coming back. You haven't seen the code. Lost track now. Incorporated. We'll come back, right? With clean code. So we'll come back.
For single family, yeah.
The single family on July 23rd with a clean code and a clean ordinance that reflects all of these amendments.
Okay. So that will return to council on the 23rd of July.
On the 23rd.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Great work from staff. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all, and we are adjourned.
Good job.
I didn't understand that.